A Long Flight Across the Atlantic by Eric de Runge. So, I'm flying from London to LA, something I did about once a month back in those days. I get to Heathrow in plenty of time and check in. Then I go and have a drink in the business lounge. I take my drink to a table by the window, sit down, and look out the window. I love watching planes taking off and landing. It's been a tough week. A couple of deals fell through at the last minute. And LA will be really busy too. But for the next few hours, I'm going to sit back and be taken care of. They call our flight on time, and everyone, except me, joins the queue. Why do people do this? We already have our tickets. Our seats are allocated. Why line up? It's an 11-hour flight to LA. I'm not in any hurry to get on that plane. When there are only a few people left aboard, I join the queue and show my boarding pass. Aisle seat, for my long legs. Back row, usually more space there. When I find my seat, I find I got lucky. Four whole seats in the middle section, just for me. Across the aisle, there's an Indian guy who looks pretty happy too. He's got three seats to himself. We exchange a knowing look, then start to settle in. I've got a lot of papers to get through before my first meeting in LA, so I get them out of my briefcase and start reading. Departure time comes and goes, and we're still sitting on the ground. Eventually we hear, "Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. Sorry for the delay, but we're waiting for a passenger. We will be taking off as soon as possible. I appreciate your patience. Please undo your seatbelts and leave the aisles clear." I smile at my fellow traveller. "Typical," he says. We go back to our reading. No point stressing out. Nothing we can do. Some of the passengers a couple of rows ahead are complaining, but I tune them out and get on with my work. About 20 minutes later, the captain comes on the line again. "We are very sorry to inform you that, due to engine trouble, we will have to change aeroplanes. Please disembark by the rear and forward doors. I can assure you that we will be on a new plane and taking off again as soon as possible. Please bear with us while we try to rectify the problem." Grr. Oh well, there's nothing we can do. I join the long line of grumbling passengers as they head back to the boarding lounge. I head straight to the bar and ask for a beer and a sandwich. It looks like we could be in for a long wait. I sit down, open up my laptop, and log on. Might as well use the time well. I'm just finishing off my third sandwich and my fourth beer when they call us back to the plane. And guess what? It's the same plane. Same plane, same seats, ready for takeoff. "Wonder what happened to the engine trouble?" I say to my companion as we do up our seatbelts. "I guess they dealt with it. It's best not to ask too many questions," he winks at me. We sit on the ground for about another hour. "I guess they're still fiddling with the engine. Luckily, the AV system is working, so I sit back, put on the headphones, and check out the movies. After about half an hour, I take them off again to have a word with one of the passengers sitting nearby. He started abusing one of the flight attendants. He's really tearing into her. As I approach, the noise dies down a little. I'm just over 2 meters tall and I tower over the little chap. "Sorry to butt in, but what's going on here? I think you need to cool down a bit," I say to the angry man. Sensing a new audience, he latches onto me and starts shrieking about meetings he'll be late for, a lunch he's missed, and how he's going to sue the airline. He's clearly had a few drinks, and he is swearing both at the flight attendant and at me. "Look, that kind of language isn't called for," I say. "What you need to do is calm down and stop upsetting all the other passengers. This young lady can't do anything to help you, unless she's a mechanic. Are you a mechanic? I ask her. She smiles and shakes her head. There you are, then. Why don't you fill out the feedback form in the back of the in-flight magazine and draft an angry email that you can send off as soon as we arrive? In the meantime, please don't pick on the staff who are only trying to help. He grumpily turns away and gets out the airline magazine, looking for the feedback form. I hope there is one. Finally, about 5 hours behind schedule, we take off. A quiet cheer goes up from a little group nearby. Not long after takeoff, the flight attendant wheels her trolley back to us. What would you like, gentlemen? We both order drinks, and she throws in a few bags of nuts as well. We got lucky, I say to the guy across the aisle. They started at the back. I can see you're an optimist, he says. 5 hours late and you think we're lucky? Yeah, I guess you could say I'm an optimist. Name's Eric, by the way. Eric Durange. Mine's Ravi, he says. And he reaches across the aisle to shake hands. What takes you to LA, Ravi? I ask him. Business, he says. Always business. You go often? I ask him. Depends on the clients, but I guess I go about once a month. Hey, so do I. What a coincidence. What line of business are you in? It turns out that Ravi and I both work in the field of information technology. In fact, we're both involved in after-sales work. As we talk, we find out that we have a lot of contacts in common. We swap opinions about some of them and find that we agree on most. It even turns out that we've both come up against Robert King, the meanest and nastiest client in the States. The flight attendants come and serve lunch, and our conversation moves on to our families. We both have photos of our kids in our wallets. This is Emil, Jenna, and Fabi, he says proudly. Emil and Fabi are twins, as you can probably see. They're totally identical. Can anyone tell them apart? I can, and the rest of the family can, but they're always getting mixed up at school. I think they rather enjoy it. My God, Ravi, they all take after you. Have you got a photo of your wife anywhere? Do they take after her at all? He shows me a photo of his wife, and we both agree that they look much more like Ravi. It's a big responsibility, isn't it, having a family, knowing that you have to look after them? Yes, it is hard. I do this job so that I can take care of them all. But then they have to put up with my endless business trips. As we chat, we discover that, although we miss our families, we also anticipate our trips to LA with pleasure. We both like seeing friends and acquaintances in LA. And I must confess that I don't really mind having a few days break from the family. It makes me enjoy being with them even more when I return. As the flight attendant removes our trays, Ravi reclines on his three seats and says he's going to try to get a little sleep. He seems to go to sleep almost immediately. I put a movie on and sit back and relax. When the movie finishes, I get up to stretch my legs for a bit. I wander up and down the aisle, looking at what people are watching and envying the sleeping passengers. I can never sleep on planes. I need to be lying down flat, completely stretched out, in order to sleep. As I get back to my seat, Ravi glances up. The hostess just came by, so I asked for a couple of whiskies. That's very good of you, Ravi. Cheers. When she brought the drinks, we asked for a snack too. She brought us a generous selection of sandwiches and nuts. I think she likes us. Yes, I said. We're the only ones on the plane who aren't complaining about our late arrival. We drank our whiskies. What have you been watching, Eric? An old one, Life of Brian. One of the best movies they ever made. Yeah, it's a classic, all right. What about that scene where the kings visit Brian and give him the gifts? And then they realize it's the wrong baby, and they take all the gifts back. We howl with laughter, order another drink, and end up spending the rest of the flight talking about our favorite Monty Python moments. When we touch down in LA, a mere 18 hours after we leave the UK, we are in the middle of a full-blown recital of Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. Arms around each other's shoulders, we walk to the front of the plane singing and whistling. The flight attendants smile. A couple of them laugh at us. But then others join in. We're the only cheerful passengers on the plane. I say goodbye to Ravi as we get off the plane before heading into the LA night. Perhaps we'll meet again, Eric, he says as we shake hands. Maybe we'll catch up on our next flight to LA. I hope so, Ravi. It's been great, I say, giving him my card. Why don't you look me up the next time you're passing through Amsterdam? I'll be sure to do that. Bye now. Bye, Ravi. Take care.